Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. We're doing a podcast about Blizzard and its many games, and thankfully it's April 2nd, so I don't have to come up with any ridiculous jokes to tell you. Although I did see one that was really funny, where a guy on YouTube did a he did a top five list. He was like, my top five best top five lists, and it was pretty funny for me. I liked it. But other than that, the April Fool's thing used to be fun, and nowadays it just feels like it's not.
Like I miss the days when we were at the previous site and like we had the, like, it was a lot of effort, but that year that we just changed the website theme every single hour. Also because selfishly it was the one time I got to publish the words stoically taking balls to the face in an unironic manner.
Yeah, I can see that. But anyway, we do have quite a bit to talk about this week. A fair bit of stuff is happening. And for once, I wrote most of this before Liz sent me her list of stuff going on. So some of it I didn't organize as well as I could have, but I think we'll talk about it anyway. So the first up, we're going to talk about Noble Garden, which started yesterday and is going to the 8th, which is next Sunday, I think. Not sure.
We just have a week of it. So yeah. It's a short holiday.
It's a short holiday. And this year they have a summoning thing, the Dalaran Swift Plume. You summon that in order to get the noble flying carpet, which is, I straight up read this and thought, oh my word, I'm so glad I'm not doing Noble Garden this year. it's a lot, because it's, you don't just summon this thing and get that you're done. No, it's just the beginning. Go ahead, Liz. Tell people about it.
It's Noble Garden this year has had a duck invasion, but it's like a nefarious duck invasion with the ducks trying to sabotage Noble Garden, except it's not actually ducks who are kind and loving, maybe. It's a druid named Dayton Swiftplume who is working to sabotage Noble Garden. And I think the real flaw in Dayton's plan is that he drops a mount. So he was always going to die. There was no way out of this. There's no way this was going to work. He's going to die. That's it. That's the beginning and end. If your evil plan, you can have the best evil plan ever, but if you happen to carry a hat, a mount, a cool t-shirt, I don't know. It's
a kitten. If you happen to have a kitten or some other
thing. Oh yeah, that would be thing. Yeah, that would also be bad for you. So yes, it's a new holiday boss only for this week. He is a giant duck, but then he comes back down to the ground and turns into a druid, so much less interesting at that point. And he will spawn in Elwyn Forest and in Durotar, so both factions can go get him. But the problem is, you go to his nest. I don't know why a druid has a nest, except he's being a duck disguised as a duck, so he has a giant duck nest. I don't know. Probably best not to try and make sense of it. So you can go to his nest, and he may or may not be there. If he's not there, then you have to explore the zone and find a golden egg. And then you...
Dayton.
It's a very large...
Dayton, I have to ask you this. Is that his name, Dayton, here? Dayton, I gotta ask you, man. Is this just so you can pretend to be a duck for a week? Is all this just your... is this your cosplay? You're just cosplaying as a duck for a week? And that's why you're dropping golden eggs and carpets around to get people to come, so it's to justify your duck cosplay. If that's the case, more power to you. You know, you be you, man.
He's committed. He's committed to the role. But so you've got to go find this golden egg. It's a really big egg. If you see it, you will not miss it. You will not mistake it for a noble garden egg. It's a huge golden egg. And you go and you find the egg, and then you have to drag it back to his nest. Which is as exciting as it sounds. And also, if you, like, go through water or you get caught on obstacles, that can be bad. So, drag the egg back to his nest, and then you spawn Dayton, and you ruthlessly murder him. Because he can drop the noble flying carpet, which you definitely want. It's a kind of a greenish flying carpet. It has kind of a pastel noble garden kind of color scheme. He can also drop a new Noble Garden transmog, the turquoise version of the new Spring Revelers set. And he was never going to survive this encounter. So that's it. You can kill him once a day per character on your account for a chance at this mount. And the mount will only drop for characters above level 60. So that's maybe your only saving grace, is that you only have... I don't have a lot of alts. There are only so many alts you can run through this every day before you just run out of chances. And with this only lasting a week, that's not a lot of time. That's even less time than it you would have to get your X45 Heartbreaker during for Valentine's every year. So yeah, I think it's 2 weeks usually. Yeah, Love is in the Air.
Also, maybe it might even be a whole month. I don't know. I don't remember this year.
Yeah, it's not that long, but yeah. So really brief period of time. I mean, it's interesting to see new takes on holiday events, and this does. Dragonflight is kind of the expansion of the ducks. I mean, they named it Dragonflight, but we have seen an awful lot of ducks.
Well, you know, ducks, the male duck is a drake, so.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, for doing the quest chain that leads you into killing this poor deluded druid, you get a duck disguiser toy, which is exactly what it sounds like. You can use it to make yourself a duck, an adorable baby duck.
This man has to die.
At any time.
This man has to die right now.
So that isn't a drop. You just do the quest that leads you to the guy, and you get your duck disguiser. I know this is a terrible plan because there's loot and transmog and toys. Yeah, this very misguided.
Well, okay, now that we've gone over that and we've learned that we have to kill this man since we must get the duck changer, I will mention briefly the Diablo 4 PTR started today. I tried downloading it, and my computer decided to be really upset with me for that, so it's going to be trying again later tonight. But, you know, the PTR's up. You can download it right now. You can go on the PTR and see what's different. Which is a lot. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to cover all that stuff again. But yeah, this is Diablo 4's first PTR. Like, they haven't done one before. They had a beta, obviously, but they haven't done any public test realms in the year or so since it came out. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. And if you as a player are concerned with the changes that are coming, you get a chance to go look at them yourself and leave some feedback if you think that some aren't quite what you want them to be. You will have a chance to get on there and do that. I was really hoping we'd get to see it, me streaming it right now, but unfortunately no. But I am going to be getting it tonight so I can go through it during this week. I'm actually super excited for this because a lot of the changes, like the change to the Codex of Power, just the Codex of Power change by itself is enough, in my opinion, for this to be one of the biggest patches they've ever done. And they're doing a lot more than that. So either of you have anything else you want to say about it?
I mean, it's just tons of stuff with the itemization changes. And one of the things is the PTR is only open for a week. So if anything, I wonder, is this enough time to test all this? Because this fundamentally changes how Diablo 4 is going to play with the skies and the scale of the changes to loot and affixes. So I do worry that they're kind of, with this brief PTR, that they may be... a PTR is going to help them bug test, but also I don't know if they're leaving enough time.
I would say right now that I don't think it will be, because we've seen this before with Diablo 3 PTRs.
Yep.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. We know that Season 3 is ending on the 14th of May. Mm-hmm. So if this PTR reveals some real problems, they will have enough time to maybe do one more during April before that. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That, you know, I don't see much more than that.
One other thing is that PTR is testing all of these kind of fundamental changes that are coming to the game as a whole. But while we keep calling it the Season 4 PTR, because it will start, the content will launch with Season 4, it doesn't include any seasonal content. It doesn't include any of the season theme or seasonal mechanics. None of that is in this PTR.
We don't even know what those are yet.
Yeah, we don't. I imagine they want to do a big reveal, but I also worry it's like, okay, so you aren't going to do any testing for this new content, whatever you're bringing with Season 4. And, you know, the past couple of seasons have launched with some bugs, with some balance problems, with things a lot of players didn't like that Blizzard had to change very rapidly. Like, within a week, we've seen, in the past few seasons, we've seen Blizzard come out and do sweeping changes to how seasonal content worked in the first week. So now we have a PTR, and they're testing some stuff, and it's big stuff, but they're testing it very briefly, and they aren't testing any of the seasonal mechanics. So it's like, okay, this is a good start, but, you know, I worry that we may need a little more than what they're doing.
Yeah, based on how their previous Diablo 3 PTRs went, there will be plenty of stuff they don't catch, because they are doing a very limited test. Their Diablo 3 PTRs have always been very limited.
Yeah, they're very short.
Yeah, this is about the length they've usually been. So yeah, I expect we'll see a lot of those problems, and I definitely think the season stuff will still be pretty janky, just because that's what happens when you only test for this amount of time.
Mm.
But okay, here's the part where I turn on this thing, and Joe and Liz probably go for a while, and I get something to drink and maybe relax a bit. The April trading post is out because it's April.
Mm-hmm.
It is indeed April.
And I looked at a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to say up front, I was underwhelmed.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not super excited about much of this. Like, I like the shark hat. I think the shark hat's cute. But I'm not really a big enough Plunderstorm aficionado to care that much about these various transmogs you can get. And the other stuff, like there's a pole arm that's a match for a pole arm they just did last month.
Yeah.
Just a different color. Like, that's like not... Well, go ahead, Joe, since you spoke.
This month is a little underwhelming, I think, at least in my opinion. But there are a couple things that I think are interesting. Like, the mounts, I think, are especially nice. You have the War Turtle mount, which I think is it's a recolor of already existing mount, but I didn't have that one, so I was very excited to see this. And you get the ship mount, the ship flying mount, that I can't remember what that's from. Remind me of the original one. I don't remember if it was like a weird recruiter friend or something, but it was a special thing that was available for a limited time. It might have been the Battle for Azeroth, like, collector's mount or something like that.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was Battle for Azeroth. I mean, you can see it kind of has
the Kul'tiran kind
of squid thing in front of it. Yeah, it feels Kul'tiran. Like, creepy, haunted Kul'tiran, which I guess that's kind of just Kul'tiran.
Yeah, the weapon models are pretty okay. There's a new Librem for offhand. There's a recolor of the crystal mace from, I want to say it was the Hellfire Citadel.
It's a Hellfire Citadel. I've got the original
from Warlords of Draenor. Yeah, except I have the blue one. I have the green one. I don't have the purple one. The bow is really neat as well. There's a snake bow. And then everything else is just, in my opinion, kind of just okay. It's not bad. Like, none of this stuff is bad. It's just not as exciting as some of the other stuff that they've had. You can get yourself a new pirate hat. You can get yourself an admiral hat. You can get yourself a nice little J dagger. And the bonus reward, though, is probably the only really important thing, which is Aura, a little tiny duck with a little tiny hat made out of a little tiny flower, and also wielding what looks like a wand. So he will probably shoot you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, my problem with this month's trading post is that it has all of these spring themed armor transmogs, and there's a dress version and there's a tunic version, and some are sold as ensembles, so you can just buy one and get the whole thing. And some of them you have to buy every piece. And I'm like, I require this in every color variation because I do. And that's a problem. That's a lot of trader's tender. And I don't know if I'm going to make it. So we're going to find out.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot else to say about
it. I'm sorry, I'm staring at the duck.
Yeah, the duck. We all... this month, it's gone to the ducks between Noble Garden, having Aura in the trading post. It's all about ducks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you get this pet, Aura, and then you get the transform device that turns you into a duck, you can be a duck accompanied by a duck. I just need to
And if you're a hunter, you can have two more ducks.
Yeah,
yeah, a hunter can have duck pets, so you can... it really has gone to the ducks.
We asked for it. We got what we wanted.
I'm also going to say that one of the things I don't like about the spring transmogs, at least the spring Reveler's Dandelion, for example, is it is a color of yellow that I have never seen in the game before.
Okay, yeah, that is a problem. Because
then you can't match it with anything, and you just, you know, you spend hours trying to get your outfit to actually look like it makes sense, but the yellow pants don't match the yellow top, and you're just going insane. And this entire thing is designed for that. It feels like it's just here to make your life worse.
It has some really unique colors, this pale yellow and kind of a pale violet. So yes, I do see this potentially being a giant headache, but I want it anyway.
I will admit that I do like the Emerald Guardian Longbow, which is a recolor of the one from the Nexus, which is a really nice green, goes well for that model. Don't like the dagger, though. Just really not working for me. Like I said, the reason I threw this in here is because if we didn't talk about...
That mount was from the 1 year sub. Thank you, chat. This is why I love doing a live show. Y'all remember you fill in the blanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. So yeah, we covered that. Gonna move on to this one, which I think people might be surprised by or might not be. Diablo 3's got its season 31 is starting on April 12th. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're still doing seasons, but this one brings back the Forbidden Archives theme, which is the one where you had Kanai's Cube and you could do like an extra Kanai's Cube ability with it.
I don't think it's an extra ability. It's you can use any combination of abilities.
Yeah, you could do three weapons, or you could do three
armor. Weapons, yeah, three jewelries,
and a weapon. Yeah, whatever.
It lets you have weird different combinations that you could not usually do. I thought that was a pretty fun season. This was back in season 20, I think we originally saw this.
Might be. I honestly can't remember anymore. There's been so many. I remember at the time, though, saying, yeah, this is an interesting season. So,
I mean, what's interesting is it's been 3 months since the last Diablo 3 season, and they're planning to do these on a regular 3 month cadence. And so far they're hitting it on the head. This will launch almost exactly 3 months after season 31 launched. So
I just wonder if it's because to a certain degree, because it's stuff they've done before.
Yeah.
They don't really have to test it at all.
Mm-hmm.
They can just, you know, plug it back in. So maybe that's why it's since they're not coming up with, say, 35 alternate talents for an entirely new end game talent system. Man, that season.
Of course, the Altar of Rites is still in the game.
Oh, it's permanent now, yeah.
You can play with your Altar of Rites and this crazy Kanai's Cube stuff, and Visions of Enmity are still in the game. So, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Every Diablo 3 season moving forward is kind of a threefer, because you're getting... Yeah, you have these themes that have been permanently added, and you're getting something new along with them. Something old... that is new. Yeah, that's right. Totally makes sense.
Yep. Should also mention the WoW Classic Season of Discovery Phase 3 is in 2 days as we're recording this. We're recording it on the 2nd. If you're hearing it live, then you know that's in 2 days. We're getting that season. And if you're listening to it recorded, it was probably yesterday. But maybe it was today. Who knows? Who knows? Who can tell? The future is a constantly shifting tapestry. But regardless, Season of Discovery Phase 4, 3 is the one with... Sunken Temple as the end game raid, level 50, I believe, mm-hmm. is the new max level. I think, Liz, you said yes, but it got swallowed.
Yes.
That's correct.
I mean, Sunken Temple as the end game raid, to me, that's like almost a work of absolute genius, because Sunken Temple was like, I had a worse time in Sunken Temple than I did in any raid that I did in vanilla. Worse not because it was bad, worse because my word was Sunken Temple complex to get up and down through.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Getting from the top where you had to go up and kill those guys in order to get to fight Hakkar in the first place, and then getting back down to fight Hakkar, and then going down into the basement to, like, I don't remember, why were we even going to the basement? Like, I don't remember. that's how long it's been, but there was something down there that we had to do.
There was the bone altar was down there.
Yeah, that's right, the bone altar. And you just, when you got that done, it was just like, wow. How long have you been in here again? 8 hours? So making it a raid, in my opinion, feels like a good move. It feels like it should have always been a raid. It should never have been a five-person dungeon, because my word, was it hard to do that as a five-person dungeon.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny to think about that too, because like some of the ones that were raids made, I think, better dungeons. Like, I think Skullomance was way better as a five-man dungeon than it was a 10-man raid. Upper Blackwing Lair, I think, was also better as a dungeon than it was as a...
You mean Blackrock? Yeah, Upper Blackrock Spire.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sorry, Upper Blackrock Spire. You know what I meant.
Yeah,
the brain is fuzzy today, folks. I'm sorry.
I knew because I had the ring. I was basically, I was brought to every run because people were like, "We need to get in." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. That's why I'm here. It's also why you're not going to be able to kick me out, because if I leave, this thing collapses." But yeah, no, it's funny how that worked. I don't agree with you about UBRS. I think UBRS worked as well as a 10-man as it did as a 5-man. But I definitely get you on Skullomance, because Skullomance, if you had like 10 people, somebody was going to go and aggro the next pull.
Yes.
Somebody was absolutely going to do it. It was inescapable. And two of those pulls could wipe a 10-player raid easily. Just, it wasn't even hard. Like, those things hit like trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I actually think Skola was better as a 5-man. So, but I think Sunken Temple will work really well as a raid, because Sunken Temple always felt like, you know, it's ridiculously big and labyrinthine inside, and there's just so much trash that it actually might work really well as a raid. So hopefully. Go ahead, Liz.
This is actually going to be a 20-player raid. The previous raids they've added in Classic have been 10-player raids. I should clarify, Classic Season of Discovery have been 10-player raids. This is a full-on 20-player raid. And it sounds like future raids they'll be adding will also be 20-player raids.
You know what? They've got legit for this, 20 feels right.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's like AQ. And AQ and Sunken Temple have a lot in common. But I will also say this. Like, they're doing level 60. Does it stop there, or are they going to actually go into BC and Wrath content?
Because it's WoW Classic, Season of Discovery, I don't think they're going to go past the end of World of Warcraft. I don't think they're going to keep leveling after 60. But they have talked about end-game content, additional end-game content. So I think they're going to hit 60, and it is going to continue with new and unexpected content that we haven't seen before.
I'm like so hoping, like beyond words hoping, for a level 60 Stockades raid.
or that Wizards raid that we never got, that wound up they wound up essentially repurposing the idea for the one that was in Dalaran. Why can't I think of the name of it now?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, the wizard prison thing.
Yeah, because originally there was another portal in Stormwind, which I don't think is there anymore, but it's definitely there in Classic, that had the intention of being another, like, the magic user version of Stockades.
Yeah, no, it's like just on an island, like in the river. It's right there. You fly by it.
Yeah.
You can even to this day, you can land on the building. It's still in Stormwind. There's just no portal there.
There's no portal there anymore.
Yeah. Mm. I know what you're talking about. That would be cool. It would especially be cool if they didn't leave Horde players out of being able to do it.
Give them a different way in. Yeah.
Yeah, like they actually like had to go to like a tunnel that they dug into Stormwind or something. Or like, everyone put on your human mask. Remember to talk. Remember to say things like you're really interested in them.
Hello,
fellow humans. Which way to the Stockades? I want to visit my cousin Hogger.
Yeah, like that's one of the things that I think I'm most interested about with like the classic stuff is if they start doing or looking at things. And I think I said this before, and if I did, I apologize, everyone. But doing the alternate version of things or the things that never were. And I understand that it's a hell of a lot of development to do stuff like that, but that would be cool. I'd like to, cause there are a bunch of stuff that we could have gotten that we never did. Like,
there's an entire PvP, battleground that we didn't get.
The underside of Karazhan.
That wasn't the battleground, but that was
I'm just saying like that. I'm using that as another example.
Yeah,
right.
I used to go exploring the underside of Karazhan all the time. It was in the game.
Me getting into the underside of Karazhan when we weren't supposed to allow to, wound up putting me on GM Island. So I've been there.
Yeah. But while we could talk about this forever, but you have other things to talk about. So I'm going to mention quickly. This is one that Liz mentioned that I had forgotten or even didn't even notice. But they've added trio queues to Plunderstorm. I'm going to assume that just means three people can queue together.
Yes. Yeah, and that's
three people as a group.
That's a huge quality of life improvement and something that I was happy to see them add, because in a group of 60 people, that's 10 teams or 20 teams. Mm-hmm. Math is hard when you're sick. 20 teams is a lot better than 30 teams, and it's a lot better than 59 other people. It makes it a little bit easier for you to possibly get a W, especially because if you get eliminated and your teammate doesn't, you can keep going. So three's good quality of life for people that are doing Plunderstorm.
Yep.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, we now know that on April 23rd, we're going to finally get season 4 of Dragonflight. And that's got you know, the rotating raids, which is basically similar to the Faded raids from the end of Shadowlands, if I'm not incorrect.
Yes, that's correct. They're called Awakened raids this time around, and we'll have new higher level loot. You'll be able to upgrade your Firulath if you have ever gotten one. And loot. That's what we're all here for, loot and transmog.
Well, isn't it also like, I was trying to remember this. It said, is this one the change to mythics is coming in, or has that already come in? Where the mythics will not...
It will be coming.
Okay, so it's coming at the same time. All right. That change, which I'm only remembering like through the lens of all this stuff I had to do. I don't know. I have no idea what it is now. I've completely lost my head. But they are changing mythic dungeons. I'm sorry, guys. It was basically like they were changing the level of like Mythic Zero to be like what modern Mythic Ten is.
Well,
if I'm not correct.
They wanted to make heroic dungeons more relevant. It's like,
yeah.
You know,
so they
right
buffed
now,
heroics up to like Mythic Zero, and then Mythic One is the equivalent of Mythic Ten right now, or something like that.
Yes. So it's like a level squish except backwards. Yeah. So heroics are going to be harder, and Mythic Zero is going to be harder. It's just. It's kind of rearranged the difficulty levels, and the heroics are going to be a little more relevant. Mythic Zeros are going to be a little more relevant. And so, yeah, that should go live with Dragonflight Season 4 and also a new Mythic Plus rotation, which is all of the original Dragonflight dungeons. Cool. Hope you're ready to go back to those. It's been you had a little break. Now you're going back. And Awakened Raids, which are pretty much like Faded raids. They'll rotate throughout the week. There'll be some higher level loot for doing the Awakened raids. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having something new to do, even though it's also kind of something old to do.
Yeah, but
I'm into it.
They're still doing the thing with like the fights have different mechanics and so forth, or a new mechanic added in?
Yes, yeah, though we don't know. We don't know a lot about that yet. We don't know. I don't think we've heard about the mechanics yet. There's still some surprises to come.
Okay. Next thing we're going to mention quickly is that we now know, since we mentioned it briefly earlier, Diablo 4 Season 3 is ending on the 14th of May. That's the new end date. They bumped it to May because they wanted to have the testing for the stuff that's coming in the next season on the PTR. Even again, that stuff is not season content, but it is stuff that's coming with the next season. So they wanted to make sure it was tested before Season 3 ended, because the way Diablo 4 does these things is it ends the season and the new season immediately starts. So that's happening, and that's worth knowing about. I mentioned this thing from the WoW store, and I don't know if it's really worth mentioning actually here now that I'm looking at it, but I'm going to throw it up anyway, just because I want to talk about what they're doing with stuff you can buy on the store. They have the Gladiator Ragged Armor that you can buy on the WoW store, the in-game store, and that's bought with real money. That ends on April 30th. And then after April 30th, at least 3 months from that date, it might be available on the trading post. It might not be exactly 3 months. It might be 6 months. It might be 4 months. The point is, it will not show up before 3 months have expired, which means that basically the stuff you buy on like for real money doesn't show up at the trading post immediately to make you feel like, why did I spend money when I could have just gotten it from the trading post? I don't know. I'm going to ask Liz, how do you feel about that? I'll ask Joe when he feels like chiming in, but Liz, you first. How do you feel about them doing that?
I really have no objections, because it's like, okay, if you really, really like it, you can buy it now, but it's not locking the rest of us into never being able to get it there. And it's not making us feel like, oh, we've got to spend real money to get this. It's like, oh, well, in a few months, I can probably get it from the trading post if I really want it, but I didn't want to spend the money. I think that's a pretty good balance, because, okay, the cosmetic is there. You can spend money if you really, really want it right now, but other people will be able to get it later. I mean, I'm not really into having these exclusive rewards that are only available once and then you never see them again, and they're a marker of, like, elite status of some kind, and, you know, make things available to more people and make them available for a longer period of time so you don't have this FOMO crap, which is it can be a big problem. We were talking
about the pre-show. Looking at you, Diablo 4 store.
Yeah.
we were talking in the pre-show about how many games are demanding our time, and demanding our time with limited time events, and all of these things you have to get now, because they want us to log in. They want to increase their engagement metrics. And it's kind of exhausting. So I think we should have fewer time-limited rewards. I think we should have more rewards accessible to more people over longer periods of time, so it's not like, okay, you have to play this week if you want to get this thing. Like this Noble Garden mount. If you're out of town this week, this is your spring break and you're not at home, you're not getting anything, because this requires at least some investment of time
to get these cosmetics.
You will be duckless, which is really sad. It's very sad. But this is a short holiday, and, you know, if you don't have a chance to play this week, you're out. You're out. You have to wait till next year. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. I think it's pretty fair.
Joe? Yeah, I think this is probably the best of both worlds. I understand that there are going to be things that cost money, and they're going to try to sell it and make money off of it. That's their business. I get that to a certain point. But having it come into rotation into the trading post, that feels very fair, because if you don't want to wait or you don't want to spend the time, you don't have to. You can just, you know, spend the money if you have the money and you really, really want it, and then you're good to go. And then if you are going to spend the time and you're okay with waiting, you can do that. It gives you the option, and it's something for everybody. And options and flexibility are all we really ask for with a lot of this stuff, aside from making stuff available for longer. But I also remember that when it comes to like the mounts and the seasonal stuff, I think I don't mind it as much because it is on a set rotation. I think the only time I ever minded it was when, do you remember the long, strange trip achievement that you needed to get the super fast flying?
Do I remember that? Yes.
Yeah, and if you missed one thing, you had to wait an entire year to be able to do it again. That felt bad because that was game altering, right?
Just Never forget School of Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly, the problem I have is that I always end up getting dragged into other people's attempts to get achievements. Because I don't care about achievements. I've never cared about achievements. But I always end up getting dragged into them for so other people can get them. So I'm sitting there half the time going, so I've been mind controlled off of a ledge again so that you can potentially get your orphan all the way. Like, this isn't going to happen. They're going to keep killing you. We're never going to get this. And I'm the one dying. So yeah, I when they got rid of that achievement, I think like my soul finally just screamed in relief. It was like, finally! But we'd already gotten it that year. Yay. Anyway, yeah, I don't have good memories of School of Hard Knocks.
I don't think anybody does.
But since Joey's back, I'm going to be able to read the thing that I was delaying reading because Joe's the only one who would know anything about it. Overwatch 2 got a preview of Venture, the Season 10 hero, and the link for our site is an article. Someone's like, what do you think of Venture? Did you get a chance to see the preview, Joe?
Yes, I did. Venture looks interesting. It's a very mobile champion, which I think are always a lot of, or hero, whatever. Those are always a lot of fun. So with the drill dash, the burrowing underground, it's all about that sort of mobility skills. And it's going to be very disruptive potentially to combat, which is not a bad thing. And I'm kind of curious how they're going to balance it out health wise to see sort of how they balance the high mobility with the frailty, because there's a lot of really cool stuff. Like, this reminds me a lot of, I think Anna wrote this in the post, but I actually really, really agree. It reminds me of potentially when Doomfist was first introduced to the game, and when Doomfist was first introduced, it disrupted a lot of games. So people figured out how to work around it, because he was just so mobile. You just couldn't hide from him. And now, here you have Venture, who is a highly mobile brawler again, and it's really, really cool. I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun. It reminds me a little bit of a ground archaeology based Ezreal from League of Legends, which some people may remember or be aware of. Like, there's a lot of like design similarities in the character. But I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. I'm very glad that Joe was here, because otherwise it would have been just me and Liz going, I don't know.
Every time they add a new hero, I'm always like, well, sure, would have been nice to get some story about this here hero, but,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. And, Venture is Overwatch's first non-binary character. Venture is a they-them. And it's like, okay, this is cool. This is a cool story idea. This is a character who's an archaeologist who's found some kind of really cool artifact. And it's like, you got them set up with a story. And we've seen that Overwatch has this really cool, vast world of characters. And we're just slamming on a wall. All we're going to get from most of these characters is a few random voice lines. And yeah, it makes me sad.
This is the one where, like, when I'm talking about that IGN interview in the pre-show, like, this is the type of stuff that I wish they would talk about doing more things with, and like maybe licensing the IP out or bringing people on board to do specific things. Like Matt said this a while ago, I think we all agreed that Overwatch is prime for the Arcane treatment. Like, that universe just begs for an animated like series of any type. Maybe not necessarily a comic book anymore, but do something like that and flesh the characters and story out that way. Find a studio that's willing to do it. Give them the stuff that you were working on already with the story mode that we're just not going to get now. Let us have it a different way. Give us a different way to consume it, but still give us the story. And I think when we first started talking about Overwatch way, way, way back when, Anne was the one that pointed out that like how cool it was to have all of these stories tied up with these characters. And every time there was something major happened, there was like another story beat, and they were moving the story forward, and they were advancing the world building, and you got the videos, or you got the shorts, or you got the comic books online, or the comic strips. And like, they just haven't done any of that in forever when they turned it into just a generic shooter.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is the sads.
It's still got all the bones. It's got the bones. Just give it to us.
But, last thing to mention, I think, before we move on to some emails and the Prime Gaming stuff. Basically, the only Prime Gaming thing I could find right now is Nihon Genji.
Yes.
That's available until April 23rd. I didn't see anything new like the crab or anything from last week. Is the crab still available?
The crab is still available. You have...
Okay, Liz is going to look up when you can get how long you can get the crab for. The crab is really cool. It's like a multicolored gem encrusted treasure on its back, hermit crab type thing. Really awesome looking, really distinctive. Wearing crown,
it's great.
Yeah. So if you like yourself really, really distinctive WoW pets, or if you like saying the giant enemy crab takes massive damage, which is a reference to old Microsoft things, but, you know.
Oh, you have until April 5th to get Fathom the Crab by watching 4 hours of World of Warcraft on Twitch, mm-hmm. which is, that is Friday. So if you're listening to this before Friday, April 5th, go turn on some World of Warcraft on Twitch so you can have this adorable purple crab as your friend. Even though, okay, if you've missed out on the adorable purple crab, don't worry too much because you can still go get Aura the Duck from the trading post this month. Yep. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, Aura the Duck or Fathom the Crab. I think I'd go Aura the Duck. But if you have a chance, grab Fathom. He, she, they.
They are crab.
Very cool. They are crab. They are crab. They
They will not share their treasure with you. So, you know, I there's more like detail and attitude about this crab than there are entire NPCs in World of Warcraft. So. But I think that covers the news for today. We're going to try and get a couple of these questions/emails in, although one of them isn't so much questions so much as somebody utterly disagreeing with us, which I sometimes like to put in just so we get to get that kind of thing. So we're going to go with that one first. Also, because they sent in that they said that their name is Zarathos/Green Jeebus, and Green Jeebus is obviously a reference to Thrall, but Zarathos is the real name of the original demon that's possessed Johnny Blaze, the Ghost Rider.
That is correct.
And I was like, oh, okay, you get in just because you referenced that. I don't have a question so much as I just wanted to comment about what Joe said regarding Cataclassic and Beyond ruining the point of Classic in the most recent episode of Blizzard Watch. I disagree. It's exactly what Classic is meant to do. Help people experience the game it was to keep people from seeking out private servers that provide that experience. The changes to the world in Cata were a major catalyst for driving people to private servers, but the nostalgia bug bites differently people for different reasons. Private servers continued for Cata and beyond it as the game progressed. There are even private servers for BFA and Shadowlands. While you all are correct that all of this content is in the live game, it isn't the same experience. You can certainly do Chromie time while leveling, but you hit 60 pretty quickly and more and move into current content before you finish the majority of what your preferred expansion had to offer. As soon as you hit 60 or 61, you get kicked out of Chromie time and can't go back again, except either as a wrecking ball that solos entire raids or in temporary time walking events. Time walking doesn't affect anything outside of dungeons/raids, only works for a handful of dungeons per event, and not every expansion has a time walking raid offered at all. This just isn't the same as what a classic server experience would be like, would offer. I don't think this will be a WoW 2 experience. There are people who would otherwise be paying someone else for access to private servers, and it provides Blizzard with data they otherwise wouldn't have to improve retail and the overall game experience to bring people back. Just tossing in my 2 cents, Green Jeebus, Thrall US / Zarathos, Fizzlecrank US. Since Joe is the one named here, although I'm sure we all expressed opinions similar to this, I'm going to have Joe go first.
So I would like to respond to part of this where the point that I was making, and maybe I didn't articulate it well enough, I'd have to go back and listen, is that when this was originally pitched at BlizzCon, and when they talked about coming to the agreement and putting the WoW Classic servers up, they wanted to not just combat the private servers, but they also thought of it and presented it as a way to preserve older content. You're absolutely right in that people will play, private servers, but here's the fun bit. People are going to do that no matter what, because the people that are already playing on those private servers are playing on those private servers because maybe they don't want to pay, right? Or maybe they don't feel like paying that monthly subscription, or they're jaded by the company or whatever the case is. You're not going to stop people from playing private servers completely. and Blizzard understands that. So you're right that they're trying to make another presentable offer. But here's the thing. My point wasn't that this was a bad thing. My point is this has evolved from that first pitch. It's WoW Classic has become something so much more. And you saw this before the Cataclysm announcement with the Seasons of Discovery, with them going back and doing quality of life passes, with them talking about adding new things into the game. We just talked about earlier in this podcast about them adding raids in, that content that was never raids before. They're showing that they're willing to add new content here. And my point is, why not just continue to follow that evolution? And you're right that Cataclysm was it means a lot to different people. Some people stopped playing because of Cataclysm. Some people decided that they were never going to come back. Some people decided that was their jumping on point. It's a complicated topic, and everything that I express is really just my opinions, and I welcome yours as well. So, but that's my two cents. I personally just would like to see them fully embrace the evolution of what Classic is starting to become, as opposed to just following the same timeline. That was my point. And now I will stop and let other people talk.
Liz, you got anything?
Well, I mean, I don't object to having Cataclysm Classic out there. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't maintain, that they aren't planning on maintaining Wrath Classic servers, because I know for a lot of players, Wrath was a real high point. And now, you know, Wrath is going to be gone in favor of kind of new Cataclysm style stuff.
And then those people will go to Wrath private servers.
Well, I mean, they do still have WoW Classic, which is just the base vanilla game, but you don't have Burning Crusade Classic, you don't have Wrath Classic. You just have WoW Classic, and then you're going to have Cataclysm Classic probably in a couple of months. We're getting pretty close to Cataclysm time. So, I don't object, but yeah, it really surprised me, because as Joe said, that was part of the original pitch, is, oh, we can go back and re-experience this content, and now we're remaking the world like we did the first time. I think what's interesting is World of Warcraft, kind of like, we joke sometimes that Hearthstone is like 27 games in a trench coat. World of Warcraft is kind of becoming the same way. It's, you know, we got our 20 games in a trench coat over here. We've got World of Warcraft.
Form. You don't we've even got, have to log in to the to actual WoW servers.
Yeah, we've got WoW Classic. We have WoW Classic Season of Discovery. We have Wrath Classic. Soon we're going to have Cataclysm Classic. We have Plunderstorm, which you can play just with a World of Warcraft subscription, is completely outside everything else. And I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting to have all of these different game modes. And when Blizzard announced Cataclysm Classic, one of the things people were kind of talking about is like, oh, are we going to make WoW 2? Are we going to do something totally different? Are we going to do Cataclysm? Which no one was sure if they were going to do Cataclysm before they went out and announced they were doing Cataclysm. And it's, instead of picking one or the other, should we do an alternate version of WoW or should we do Cataclysm? They're like, let's just do both. Let's do Season of Discovery that explores this kind of slightly alternate Azeroth, and let's also do Cataclysm. We can do both. So yeah, possibly we're just going to have, maybe we're just going to have the best of both worlds here. We're going to have both of these things and we can play any of them whenever we want.
Yeah, there's also like, it's worth pointing out that Seasons of Discovery also puts in quests that didn't exist.
Yeah, brand new content.
That like point to stuff that's in like newer expansions. Like there's one with, I think it's pretty obviously Xalatath.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up like you. She there's a quest involved with her doing things.
And Xalatath didn't exist until what, Legion?
Legion. Yeah, I mean there were some of that stuff that they then gave to Xalatath in Legion was in the game, like that the idea that the dark Iron Dwarves attacked Grim Batal
and rendered
it corrupt. Yeah, and that's in Cataclysm. But yeah, there was never, we didn't know Xalatath was involved in that until we found out what Xalatath was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they've gone back and done stuff that ties into things that didn't exist when WoW Classic came out. As for the other thing that you said that I wanted to kind of react to was the idea that you can do Chromie Time or leveling, you hit 60 pretty quickly and move into current content. You could literally go into Chromie Time, get up to level 60, lock your level.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, you can still do that.
Still can.
You could lock your level at 60 and never leave it. And do all the Cataclysm content you wanted. Now, it would be pretty hard for you to get a raid. Like, let's be upfront. There's not enough. You'd have to, if you wanted this to happen badly enough, you'd have to organize a group of like at least 20 people to do it. And I don't know how well that would actually work. But regardless, it is theoretically possible you could do that. I think that there's a certain amount of I think we should just admit certain things and not view them as derogatory or negative. They are not doing what they said they were going to do when they introduced a WoW Classic. And that's because they realized that that wasn't what people wanted out of WoW Classic. People do not want a 100% pristine presentation of the way WoW was.
Yeah, you even saw that on the private servers. They weren't pristine one-to-one recreations, right?
No one wants that, because when WoW was what it was, it didn't know that it was going, you know what I mean? They didn't know what was going to happen. We got patches all the time that changed and broke things. The game was constantly in flux. And oddly enough, the option to keep the game in flux makes it more fun for people. The fact that there are could be changes, that things could, there could be balance passes, there could be changes to way an ability works, there could be all sorts of stuff to make the game better, rather than just saying, here it is, it will never change, it's always going to be this snapshot, and that's what it is, and that's how it'll stay. That's a museum piece.
Mm.
And people don't want to play museum pieces. They want to play a game that feels like it's a game, that it's alive, that's being developed, that's being iterated on. So ironically, the best way to make a game feel like original World of Warcraft is to ignore whether or not the game feels like original World of Warcraft, because they weren't worrying about that when they were making original World of Warcraft. You know, we all played it. It was nuts.
Was it they famously said they didn't expect the game to last more than a year at the time?
Yeah, they did. They did say that. Anybody who ended up on a boat in Stone Talon Mountains rather than, you know, over, you know, on Courage, anybody that was in Blackwing Lair when the entire servers exploded and you were trapped in Blackwing Lair for an hour.
Anybody that got stabbed by a rogue in a battleground that had the macro for all the emotes inside of their Sinister Shrike and then saw the world server crash repeatedly, they know.
Yeah. Or anybody who fought a shaman in PvP and had the Wind Fury bug / exploit, where Wind Fury could proc off one of shot. Wind Fury, which could proc off of Wind Fury, not only would it one-shot you, it would put you in the graveyard in the center of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? It was like for each, the Alliance, it was outside of Duskhaven or something, and the Horde, it was in the Barrens.
It was outside of Crossroads, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would port you to that dungeon, and now you would just be like, I'm out of the battleground, I guess. That's how hard the Wind Fury procking on Wind Fury hit was. Like, oh my god, he's got Sulfuros. He's going to hit you so hard that you're going to go to that other graveyard.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And to be fair, you are right that we talked about this a long time ago on the podcast. You can never go home again when it comes to the Classic. You're never going to get that same experience. Everybody's too connected now. Part of it was that it was brand new and the discovery was there. Nobody knew what they were doing. The devs were figuring it out. Players had no idea. You had no websites to really go through besides like Thoughtbot.
Yeah, or Alakazam.
And like you didn't have maps. And if you did have maps, they were usually poorly drawn MS Paint versions of said map with very vague directions on how long you should go in a direction.
Yeah, you had to make sure you had that the add-on that told you where stuff was. And go ahead, Liz.
These days, we just do poorly drawn MS Paint maps for fun.
Yeah, because we want to. But I think to a certain degree, the best way to preserve that spirit is to do what they've been doing.
Make it something weird.
Yeah, you don't worry about giving you the exact experience, because we weren't trying to give you that experience when we gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, I think to a certain degree, I think that these changes are good. I don't think any of us are saying they're not. They're definitely different. This is a different game than we were originally told it was going to be.
And that's fine.
And yeah, that is fine. In fact, I think one of the reasons I was so down on WoW Classic, but I'm so excited about WoW Classic Season of Discovery, is Season of Discovery is finally ripping the mask off and revealing its lunatic gaze.
Yeah.
And this is what, now I recognize this as World of Warcraft. Previously, it was just somebody pretending to be World of Warcraft. But I think, unless you guys have anything else to say on this one, I think we've got time for like one more.
I think that's right.
Okay. I'm going to go with the first one from, I want to say Dragonia? Yeah, Dragonia. Did anyone else have a busy week without time to read up on WoW news and see that there's a Hearthstone crossover event and see a screenshot of patches and then just assumed that was the secret 10.2.6 pirate content? Just me? either of you guys have that experience?
I honestly did not.
No, but also, you know, I was thoroughly aware that this Hearthstone event was happening. So I'm afraid no, but then you're asking this question of a group of people who are extremely plugged into World of Warcraft news.
Yeah.
So it's harder for that to come out of left field and surprise us. Oh, now that I'm thinking about it, I am kind of surprised that like Patches isn't hanging out in like the Plunderstorm Storm lobby. It would have been so easy to take that Patches model and just have him like hanging out with Kegleg's crew, and he's just there. He doesn't need an explanation. You don't need to explain why you have this beholder style mob who is a pirate. He's there. Why not?
So what's funny here is, though, is this is an example of how people who are really plugged into WoW can get confused differently. I read Patches, but my brain auto-corrected it to Stitches.
Oh.
And I'm like going, why would Stitches be in a Hearthstone pirate thing? Then I'm like, but then my brain was like, forget why, how? How do we get pirate Stitches?
We don't question that. Pirate Stitches is fine.
Yeah, but how do we make this happen? How can I get Blizzard to put a pirate hat and an eye patch on Stitches and just have him be in Thunderstorm?
Hold on a second, I got this. Hey, Blizzard, put a pirate hat and a patch on Stitches and put him in Thunderstorm. There, I helped. I tried.
And Patches could be riding on his back.
Yeah, there you go.
Because why not? And then there could be a shark that shoots lasers.
He could be wearing Patches as a hat.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Our Patches could be wearing that shark hat that's in the trading post this month. So you have Stitches wearing Patches as a hat, and Patches is wearing a shark as a hat, and all of them are wearing eye patches. And of course, the shark has its own pirate hat.
The shark also has a laser. You gotta get a laser beam. And there's an undead with like playing guitar in the area. He's not on the shark. He's hanging around.
Can we all agree though that one of the biggest misses from the Plunderstorm loot being in the trading post is that there's not a shark weapon? Because I still remember sharks being thrown at me from a certain ogre in a certain pirate themed area, and it seems like it would be a perfect thing for us to have like a sword made out of a shark.
See, I don't want stuff like a sword made out of a shark, but I think hunters should definitely get either a gun that is shaped like a shark or a gun that shoots sharks.
Mm.
And I think that the gun that shoots sharks, it would be like a special ability. Like it's shooting normal bullets, and then you hit like something, and suddenly there's a shark coming at you. I think that would be really cool. That's my two cents on this one. Liz, if you have a ridiculous shark-themed weapon idea, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I don't know if I can top any of these. Does the shark weapon, like, is it a gun that shoots sharks?
Yes, or it could be a shark gun.
You know, or like both.
A shark with a gun in it. But I just thought of a paladin one. Imagine a big two double-handed hammer, except it's actually got two heads. The top head is a shark head. The bottom head is also a shark head, but they're pointed in different directions so you can spin the hammer and just keep sharking people with it.
I'm down. I'm in. Let's go.
I mean, in Season of Discovery Phase 3, there will be a gun axe, which is an axe that you can fire like a gun. So anything is possible. I mean,
there's we actually can clearly a real life make weapon.
These weird combos.
There's a real life weapon that was actually used. It's a hammer with a gunpowder, like a small gunpowder charge on the end of it. They used to actually hit people with this thing.
Sword guns are also real.
The gunpowder would go off and they'd get knocked back. That hammer was built. It was tremendously inefficient, but it existed. And now I want it in WoW. The gun hammer. Boom, boom. You know, my God, I'm a weird. Okay. Are we done, or do you want to do the last email?
I think we're good.
Yeah, okay. I think so too. I think we're getting a little loopy here at this point. I don't know, Liz.
The cough medicine is starting to kick in.
Yeah. Liz is like, I can't believe they're talking about shark weapons. But all right, Joe, if you don't mind.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance to have your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. I dread the day you can't make a podcast and I have to actually say
that. I have it pre-recorded just for that reason.
Oh, thank God. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys to Joe and to Liz for being here and making the show what it is. Thank you to all of you for listening and making the show more than just us talking on Discord for an hour and a half. Wow, yeah, we do the pre-show. We talk for like an hour and a half. My word. Thank you all for being here. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.